I have to keep my unruly guests down. Hey, it's time for, almost time, for Arts Live and Local. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world, especially Nova Scotia, Boutelier's Point, and the Faddle family and my beloved Carol. And I have, yes, this, it is I, and I just wanted you to know that it's Carol here, without much of a voice, but with a better prognosis for the four-footed furry. I'm not so sure about the two-footed here, but we'll get along. Hey, Arts Live and Local. Got a very artsy show for you. I'm going to start out with a brand new album. Yes, a brand new album that just came to me in some form or another. It's called Portland Romance, and it's by two of our very good friends. That would be Kate Power and Steve Einhorn. And it's, I'm not even sure it is off the press yet, but we've got ourselves a copy. I'm going to send this first piece. It's a beautiful album. And I want to send this one out to Joe. And with best wishes for healing.
I'm opening up in deep surrender to the luminous love light of the one. My heart takes wing, beckoning me home. The Lord, my shepherd, calls. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet. My heart takes wing, beckoning me home. The Lord, my shepherd, calls. He restores my soul, he guides me in the paths of right. For his name's sake, my heart takes wing, beckoning me home. The Lord, my shepherd, calls. Even though I walk through the valley. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. My heart takes wing, beckoning me home. The Lord, my shepherd, calls. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup, oh, my heart takes wing, beckoning me home. The Lord, my shepherd, calls. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My heart takes wing, beckoning me home. The Lord, shepherd, calls.
And that was Kate Power with Steve Einhorn, and that was Psalm 23. There. Version, which is just very, very beautiful, very beautiful. Goes out to Joe and anyone else who has lost someone dear to them. And many of us have. But not here, not now. We are here to celebrate the arts, and indeed, that's seems to be easier and easier to do in our region as the explosion of arts and culture happens. So I have here three people, although how are we going to divide this up? I don't know. All three. Oh, they look so beautiful. Look at this. How nice. Three local artists. Who are all part of the Palette Puddlers, and I'm going to let them tell you what that is. I think it's a terrific name. And this weekend, they are happening. Usually, however, the Palette Puddlers are in Cannon Beach. Am I right? Is that? Yeah. But they have migrated to Astoria for this weekend, and are going to be doing an art show and sale at the Art Loft, which is 106 3rd Street in Astoria, right above Dots and Doodles. So, my guests are Ellen Zimmet. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And Joe Pomeroy Crockett.
Hi, greetings from Palette Puddlers and the Astoria Art Loft.
I love it. Palette Puddlers. Okay, my third guest is actually here for the next spot, but since she is a puddler herself, we invited her in, and that would be Debbie Lloyd. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, it's nice to be here today.
Double whammy. So tell us first, the word palette, that's good. That tells us, you know, you're artists, you paint, you use a palette, some of you, maybe not all. Who came up with that name?
Well, Joe would know more than I, but the story that I've heard is it came up about 15, 20 years ago. This is a group of women, mostly, that have painted together for years and years. They meet every Monday. They paint. They're friends. They, you know, but Palette Puddlers started as just what other name, right, could we give it? And then they puddle around with palettes. It doesn't have any great meaning other than the
except
fact...
Except we live in rain country.
We live in rain country, and it's just stuck with them. And
it's great fun because... Yes. I don't think I've heard anybody else take that term.
I don't think so, anybody else
and it was
wants
easy
it.
To find a and it was easy to find a .com with that name.
Okay. Oh, there you go. You were the one of a kind. Yes. So.
Well, one of the things you learn as an artist, you have to get a big enough puddle to start on your painting. So that's appropriate.
There you go. Well, So I said that you usually meet in Cannon Beach. Where do you live, Ellen?
I live in Warrenton.
I live out in Svensson.
Oh, Joe.
I'm your neighbor.
You are. Have you been there all this time?
10 years.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to start dropping in on you. And Debbie?
I live in Astoria.
Okay. None of you are in Cannon Beach. Why Cannon Beach?
We've had, originally there were a lot of people that did come from Cannon Beach. As I said, this group has been going on for how many?
Close to 25 years.
And
great.
Additional people joined from other places. Cannon Beach has been a wonderful venue for us, but it just seemed like it was a good time to try and move on to something else. And we got a wonderful offer from the Astoria Art Loft that we couldn't refuse. Mm-hmm. As you well know, you know, costs of doing gallery shows go up and up and every year. So we thought we would try this one time.
So are you still going to be painting in Cannon Beach?
Yes.
Now? Okay.
Still painting
so
Cannon
we're
Beach.
We're just trying to establish this so folks who are listening who mm-hmm. might be. Now, you and it's for women. I don't know if I can have you on this show because you're discriminating.
Well, we have had men members, and they would be welcome.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Joe, you no just saved our buns.
Okay. No discrimination.
Okay, good. Good. So are you all painters? Then we're going to get to the specifics of this group here, but is everybody in the group uses a palette?
Yes and no. Some okay. use scissors and colored paper. We have collage artists, mixed media, we have watercolorists. We don't have any oil painters per se within the group, although some have done oil. We have acrylic painters, so some sort of palette, mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm. if you want to.
So it's not, there are no basket weavers
no.
or ceramics, or it's all painting?
It's all painting.
Okay, good. Now, Ellen, yes. tell us what we're going to see of yours. That's because I'm still using your cat cards.
Well, I've branched out into roosters and chickens now.
Oh, there you go. You do a lot more than that, too.
I do. I've been playing around with batik, which is a painting with wax and watercolor on a paper called gin washi, which is kind of fun. It's kind of
which is beautiful.
It really is a wonderful technique. I learned it from Kathy George, who works out of Florida. And then, of course, the other work that I always do is influenced by Carlin Holman, who is also Carlin Holman, who's another artist that does a lot of mixed media. I enjoy mixed media. I enjoy watercoloring things and then mixed media on the background because I never know what to put in the background.
So when you say mixed media, what are you talking?
We're talking paper, sometimes fabric, sometimes gauze, stencils, just a whole variety of things that tend to fill up.
Three-dimensional,
fills up the space and makes things more interesting.
Okay, and size-wise?
I would say the majority of what I do is 16 by 20.
And you've been making art for how long?
Well, you don't want to go there. You want to go all the way back to my college years?
Well, there you go, since yeah. college now. Nobody out there knows. People who don't know you have no idea how old you are. You could be 35.
I could be 35.
Yeah. And you were once.
I was 35.
This is a good thing.
I've hit all the decades.
Right? And still but, is.
And still is. Like I tell the young people, you're only old on the outside.
Well, what I'm wondering is, have you made a life of art, or do you have a day job, and art's always been part of your life, or how has it been integrated in your life?
Oh,
you're the first. You guys
get
to do this.
All prepare yourselves for these. I studied art in college,
and then
I went off to having a real life where I had to help support my family. So I ended up in education and a variety of avenues along through there.
Teaching art.
Not necessarily even teaching art. I was an artist. I was a counselor. I was an assistant principal. I was a principal, all in the Los Angeles Unified School District. And then I went into grant writing and bigger in technology and all kinds of things. It's like I tell people, don't judge me by the chapter of my life you walked in on. But about 12 years ago, I moved out here half-time here and half-time in California, and just really got caught up in the wonderful scene of art out here. And one of my first mentors is sitting right next to me,
yes.
Joe Pomeroy Crockett.
Yes.
And she really took me under her wing and said, you can do this.
She was also my first mentor.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, yeah, I wanted to get to that because Joe, I can't even remember what the first thing of yours was, whether I first heard your name as a teacher, because you were always leading the workshops and getting other people to do stuff, but yes, also making your own. As a matter of fact, just this morning I was handling my little goat that's never got to my granddaughter because I kind of fell in love with it, so I kept it. So, but tell us how this came about.
Well, I have had a lifelong passion for art. Luckily, I come from a family of artists and musicians and writers. Mm. And my grandfather, who was an engraver and an artist, took me under his wing when I was three and got me busy drawing.
Sweet.
And I just never recovered. It's been a lifelong addiction. And later on, paint came into it. But drawing is my first love.
So this is interesting. Was there art in the schools as well, or was it family, straight from the family?
Pretty much family. The art that was in the schools then was rather incidental,
mm-hmm.
and we all did the same thing.
Where did you grow up?
In Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're both in the hot country, L.A. and Phoenix. No, it wasn't hot.
I grew up in the East Coast.
Oh, I'm sorry. L.A. was just the workplace, right. I know that. Listen to her talk, of course. So how did it happen, though, that in addition to making art, that you felt that you wanted to share it with others and that you were willing to take responsibility for teaching? Because we're talking about adults. We're not talking about earning a living, particularly on this.
Right. I was asked to teach art in Phoenix many years ago and agreed to it. I, like Ellen, had to earn a living in addition to doing art, so I, too, went into education. Mm-hmm. So teaching was just natural.
Ah, of course.
And it was very easy to start into teaching watercolor. And
had you studied art?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I had. Okay. But I'd also...
Academically.
Yes, okay. I had.
Because teaching is very different from doing. And
yes,
I know
it
there's
is.
That old adage, if you can't do, yes. teach, but that's BS.
Yeah,
because is. Teaching is an art in itself, as everybody sitting here, all four of us know. And it's... very different.
I think what happens when you teach a great deal of art is that you're so exhausted from inspiring others to teach that there's not much energy left for creating your own work, which is why I stop teaching every now and again and just do my art.
Nice. And are you showing regularly at Art Loft?
Yes, I am, and also at the Fairweather Gallery in Seaside.
Okay.
And any place else that will have me. I also have a show currently at Grace Episcopal Church. I have 28 pieces on their wonderful wall.
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. How much longer is that going to be there?
That will be up through the middle of October 15.
Mm-hmm. So you've already had the opening, though?
Yes, we had it last Sunday.
I missed that, so I'll have to get over there. That's a really nice space for...
it's a beautiful space.
Yeah, for showing art. Where do you show besides with Palette, or don't you?
Pretty much a little bit at Trail's End. And right now I've got a show going on at Astoria Art Loft in September. So I haven't, it's one of those years where I haven't been here that long, so I haven't been doing more than that.
Do you have your own cubicle at Art Loft?
I don't right now, no.
But sort Joe, of, you do.
Joe.
Yes. Ellen is our featured artist in September.
Uh-huh. At Art Loft.
At the Art Loft, yes.
So
she will be on board for our second Saturday Art Walk, which is
next
weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Is that going to be different from what we're seeing this weekend, Ellen?
Oh, absolutely. Tons of more stuff. No, it'll pretty much be the same. But we're doing a lot of work with marbling right now, and we're going to talk more about that. And it's pretty much changing, using paint, floating paint on water. It's very exciting kind of a process. So there's a lot more of that coming out. So there may be newer pieces.
then.
Who's the we? The we. Puddlers?
Pretty much the Astoria Art Loft and the people that want to take the class. Okay. I've taught two classes and going to teach another one.
In marbling. Okay. You know what's... When I just asked you that and I realized this is like when I talk to the musicians around here, they're all... They mix and match all the time. Mm-hmm. And now I'm seeing it in the art world as well, which is delightful.
If I may. My fascination is really with all the kinds of things you can do to create the papers on which you can collage. So to do the watercolor in the foreground and put all kinds of fun in the background. And we've been doing marbling on old watercolor paintings that we weren't so terribly thrilled with. We dip in, and then you have a whole nother way to bring those pictures to life.
Give us a quick rundown on how marbling works.
Marbling is almost a chemical process where you take a piece of paper or fabric and you cover it with a composition called alum, which is not your... It's all food-friendly, alum is... It's not the product that they use in...
For aluminum.
Right. In pickles, whatever, Then the paper gets covered with that. It gets dried, gets pressed, and then we create a bath of a solution called carrageenan. And that floats in the bottom of a cooking tin or a box of some sort.
You sure this doesn't have to do with cooking?
It really... it's almost like fancy cooking.
Yeah.
And then acrylic paint is poured on top, dripped on top of this carrageenan, and you... dip your paint picture into this and then dry it.
Now, don't most people do marbling on blank paper?
Could be on blank paper, but we started doing it also on... You can do it on anything.
Yeah. I like this idea of taking art that you don't want to keep anymore and just sort of coming up with a new
refresh
product.
Refresh it.
Upcycling or whatever they're called.
Yes, refreshing it.
Refresh it.
So that's been kind of fun.
Yeah. So we might see some of that next week as well.
You definitely will see some of that.
And that
yes.
will be at Art Loft. So, so Joe, with Art Loft, do you bring in artists to teach or to have special shows or what? As with any
yes, film? To both. This year we have had the privilege of having Carl Dalio for a week-long workshop, an internationally known watercolorist. And just 3 weeks ago, we had David Kittler, who is a well-known wildlife artist and painter. We're going to have Corey Dietz come in a couple of weeks. We will have Liz Walker, who will show us how to take our marbled papers and turn them into finished paintings.
Oh, I see. So this
it's
a whole
really two-step process. Yeah. Ellen is step one, and Liz will be step two.
Well, there you go, Ellen. You're step one.
I'm a step one. That's and nice. Liz is one of these artists that has gotten herself into many of the large watercolor association painting things.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound right. Into the shows.
right.
And it does some fascinating work.
Now, how does somebody who is not part of Art Loft, by the way, again, Art Loft is over on 106 3rd Street, right above Dots and Doodles. And do you work with Dots and Doodles at all?
I do, yes. We're very close friends, and we have a wonderful... mutually beneficial association.
I don't think so.
We give a lot of art classes and workshops, and right below us is an endless supply.
yes, and they are fabulous.
They're
art
wonderful.
Show, art
they
supply
are,
show.
Yes.
And terrific, two terrific people as well.
And if anybody is interested in our classes,
yes,
and we give, I do children on Tuesday afternoon and adults in watercolor on Wednesday.
What do you do with the children?
A number of things. When a child is between 4 and 12, art is process-oriented, not product. So we experiment with all kinds of materials and approaches.
Nice, mm-hmm. Nice.
It's a lot of fun.
And what age is that?
I've worked with children as young as 4. And I have a couple of 5-year-olds, a 10, and an 11-year-old.
What time of day is it?
In the afternoon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they can.
Yes.
Okay, so now how do people find you?
Well, they come in our front door, which is really the south door.
This will happen.
And let us know how we could be of help to them.
And
we offer classes. We can do private lessons. We work on special occasions with Rebecca at the wine craft. We do special painting sessions and wine with her.
Oh, well, nice. Yes, that might change the art a little bit.
It's a lot of fun.
And do you have a website for?
Yes, we do. It's Astoria Art Loft.
Okay.
.com.
Okay.
And we have our full schedule and pictures of the art loft. And we're really very interested in art education. We are an education center.
Excellent.
And we do have a gallery and, of course, 10 studios and ongoing classes. We even do classes in not only marbling, but Zentangle.
Oh, yes. I got a piece of a Zentangle puzzle to gift to a friend. A Canadian, one of my Nova Scotians, actually, and she loved it. And that had been, I just learned about Zentangle. I don't do it, mind you, but I appreciate it.
But you could, and we could teach you how.
And I'm taking Sandy's class right now, and it is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
She's a marvelous teacher and gives you tons of materials to work with.
Excellent. So for all of this that we've been talking about, AstoriaArtLoft.com, mm-hmm. and then you can see what's there, how you want to fit in, or just come by this weekend, especially Saturday, Sunday, and Monday from 10 to 4, when the Palette Puddlers are having their big, their annual, actually, Labor Day art show and sale, and you can find everything there, the Palette Puddlers and the whole art loft scene. And my third puddler, who is sitting patiently here, has yet another layer going on this weekend. And Debbie, you're part of the Palette Puddlers, even though you live in Astoria.
Yes.
So you go to Cannon Beach to work with.
Uh-huh.
Is part of that the camaraderie, or?
I think so. There's something different about painting with a group than there is just painting by yourself. It's a lot of fun.
Because you do most of your painting at home, then.
I'm pretty much a newbie in the Palette Puddlers, and I've really enjoyed it so far.
That's great. Yeah. And so do you have some work up at this show this weekend?
I do have a little bit. Most of my stuff is for this other project this weekend, but I have some matted things, and I have some of my cards that are
okay.
There.
So how many Palette Puddlers are going to be showing for this show?
Ten.
Okay. And then you've got the Art Loft folks all around, so you can really get a terrific fit. It's a wonderful venue. And everybody is sort of right out there. So,
and if I can add one more thing, our dear friends downstairs, Dots and Doodles, are going to have a huge sale on Saturday for their Labor Day show.
All right.
So,
There's
lots more reasons to come.
Great.
Yes. Bonanza, right there on 3rd Street and Marine Drive. It's quite a, but the Dots and Doodles entrance is right on the corner. And our Art Loft, you walk just 10, 20 feet up 3rd Street, and that's how you get into Art Loft. So it's pretty easy. So I would like to, but if you don't mind, you staying, because you may have some extra questions for Debbie.
Sure. Great.
Debbie Lloyd is my next guest. I was going to take a break, but you know what? It's like we're all in the family here. So
that sounds great to me.
I would love to just tell folks mm-hmm. what you're doing. Because I thought I got it wrong when I saw that you were a Palette Puddler, because how could you be in two places at one time? However,
it's a busy month.
It's very busy.
We have a Debbie clone.
Oh, good.
We do. She's been very useful.
Oh, that's very handy, very handy.
I think I agreed to this other project before I became an actual Palette Puddler.
I see. Well, this is pretty exciting, though. Debbie is the featured artist at Trails and Art Gallery in Gearhart, and this Saturday is the Gearhart Art Walk, as well as from 2 to 5, and then Seaside Art Walk follows, and that's 5 to 7. So in Gearhart, Trails End Gallery is just a wonderful, also a cooperative kind of setup. And Debbie is the featured artist. So your work is all watercolor or most
watercolor? It's all watercolor, yeah. I've not branched out into any other thing. I love watercolor, and so I've just stayed with watercolor.
And how long have you been painting?
Not near as long as these other ladies.
Right.
Joe was my first mentor. In fact, we traded watercolor lessons for piano lessons.
I love it. And then Astoria, we are. So the whole area here. Yeah.
And then I just read books and videos and went to an occasional workshop.
And then you got hooked somehow.
I did.
Because
I really
you're
did.
Doing quite a bit of work. But first, I just want to back up a little bit now that you mentioned piano, and that is to say that I met Debbie because she was the accompanist for the North Coast Chorale for how many years?
A lot.
A long
18
time.
Maybe?
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. For a long
it's been
time.
A long time.
And then come to find out, our pianist is having an art show. What? Wait a minute. Who are you anyway? Because that's only part of her life. She also has a day job, which she's still doing. But you're not a teacher.
I'm not a teacher. I'm a licensed professional counselor.
There you go.
And art was so far from my idea of where my world was when I was younger. I really wasn't even interested in art. In fact, in grade school, my two worst subjects were music and art.
Oh, my God. That's beautiful. That's wonderful.
And music has been so much a part of my life that it's just hilarious.
So how did you get hooked in music?
Oh, well, I don't know. I started taking lessons when I was third or fourth grade. I was kind of a kid who was shy, and so getting the right notes and the right rhythms was important. And then I finally learned that I could branch out and I could be expressive in my music. And I think that's a point at which you tend to get hooked because you really feel the music. And I'm really have been trying to do that in my art. Started out the same way. You're just kind of focusing on techniques and different pieces of information. And you finally get enough comfort that you start moving out, this is how I express myself. Mm-hmm. And still in that process. I think it's probably a lifelong process.
Good. What a wonderful thing to have happen. And so you met Joe here in Astoria.
I did. I met her at the North Coast Chorale. We were talking, and she says, "You're really interested, aren't you?" And I said, "I am." So we made a deal.
That's terrific. Wonderful. So what I see also is that you're, among other things, a traveler. And you take a lot of photos.
I take photos no matter what, whether I'm traveling or not. That's what my family knows about me. I'm always going to stop and take a photo or 10.
Good. You'd be a good traveling partner for me. And is that your preference, though, is to paint from your photos?
I do, yes.
Yeah. Rather than plein air?
I'm a slow painter. Some people can dab stuff on, and I would love to be a fast painter that can just loosely put stuff on paper. But that just, I've accepted the fact that that's not who I am. That I'm a slow, methodical painter, and I went to a workshop where the teacher was really saying that was okay to be who you were. Be slow, be, you know. I like that. It's okay.
Absolutely. Where's the rush, you know? I mean, if you can, it's nice to be able to try a little of everything and then decide what feels good to you and stretch when you can. So now you are also teaching art?
I am teaching a couple of watercolor classes in my home. And then, again, it's sort of accidental. And so I have two classes. I actually have two this year. One's kind of an intermediate and one's more advanced. But it's a lot of fun. Do it in my home and there's small classes.
How does an accident like that happen?
People have seen my work and they, could you teach?
Okay.
So kind of asked to do
it. So do all your students become slow painters? Is that part of the prerequisite?
Not necessarily. No.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me because I'm still, at this late age and stage, intimidated by visual arts. because I'm involved in the performing arts. And so when I see people like yourself, Debbie, more so than Joe and Ellen, who've been doing it forever, who started at a later age.
Yeah, I was in my mid-40s when I started.
Well, it's too late for me for that, so.
You could still start. It's never too late. It's never too late.
But she's such a classical artist. You know, a lot of, all of us do different genres and do it differently, but I just so admire her work. I know she says she's a newbie, but the amount of light and feeling that she gets into her paintings is very reminiscent of the masters, and I want to.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching you.
I've never watched you paint, but I certainly enjoy.
It's slow. It's like watching paint dry. Literally.
I enjoy some of the subject matter, though, too, because of the traveling. And,
right.
And you've got quite a few interests. Now, are you part of the Watercolor Society of
Oregon? Yes, I am.
Are you also, Joe?
Yes.
I think all three of us are.
All three of you are. Nice, nice. I'm very impressed. So, okay, so here's just two of the many things that are going on this weekend. The Pallet Puddlers are at the Art Loft in Astoria. I'm thinking this is like a game of Clue. Mr. Green with the wrench in the purple room or something.
Exactly.
The Pallet Puddlers in the Art Loft at 106 3rd Street in Astoria. So that's happening Saturday, Sunday, and Monday from 10 until 4, a show and sale, 10 artists. Plus, you can see all the rest of the art at the Art Loft. And, of course, stop downstairs at Dots and Doodles, because they are always a joy to visit and pick up some art supplies. And then Debbie Lloyd, who is the featured artist at Trails End Art Association, which is 656 A Street in Gearhart. It is a little tricky to find.
You turn off at the signal where the Dairy Queen is. You head toward the beach, and pretty soon you see it, a little red old schoolhouse building sitting on the left.
And then you park your car, ditch your car, and walk to it? Is that the idea?
No, you'd go down to the next street, turn left, and then left again. And
you do. Yeah. You wiggle around a little, but the good news is it's during the light. It's from 2 to 5 in the afternoon.
Right.
And so,
and actually that show is for the whole month of September.
Oh, great.
That the galleries open, that show will be up. And there are a lot of other artists that are showing in this show as well. So
okay, and
a lot of really wonderful pieces.
And it's Trails End is comprehensive in its art. There's jewelry, there's all kinds of...
Everything.
Everything, yeah.
Everything.
I actually went to a class, I don't know what it was, I think it was Vicki Baker or some, showing how she did her work.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't so much a class as a...
Demonstration.
Demonstration, that's it, yeah. Are you going to do a demo at all?
I'm not planning to at this point.
Okay, but you never know what might happen.
It could be a slow painting demo.
It could.
With beautiful colors and wonderful design.
So, and Debbie, you do also a lot of work from nature. A lot of your flowers and...
I do like flowers. I love portraits, especially.
Yeah, portraits.
Portraits are my favorite.
Yeah.
I love to work at getting the expression that's in someone's face, and I've even had the experience, it was kind of a healing experience, painting somebody, and in the process of trying to look at the photo and what makes those eyes look like those eyes and that mouth like that mouth, but over here, could feel some of the pain, some of the things that were in that person's life in the past, but looking in that face so carefully to see what it was, things came up that were quite interesting.
And we're talking to a licensed counselor here, so that that goes together with what was just... Seriously,
I just try and understand people on a deep level, and so when I'm painting, I think I'm doing the same thing.
Exactly, and it works, because your portraits are quite wonderful. Have you ever shown the portraits to the subjects?
Oh, yes, and I've had some that were commissioned things.
Oh, okay.
Right,
okay.
I have a picture of a Ugandan woman, but... haven't been able to contact the person, but our last trip, or my first trip and only trip to Africa, met this little girl at a restaurant, and I took some photographs of her. And so her mother and the child's grandmother, we've all been in contact, and so I'll be sending them some prints.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole nother dimension. Now, is there some way, can people see your work online anywhere?
Or? I have a website. It's watercolorsbydebbie.com. It's all one word.
Okay, Watercolors by Debbie. That's D-E-B-B-I-E.
Right.
.com. And this is this Saturday. That's tomorrow. So you can check out Debbie's show or the opening. But as she says, it's going on all month. And if you do go to Gearheart tomorrow, you can check out several other galleries in the Gearheart area that are showing. There's a photographer, Russell Young, at the A Great Gallery. Well, there you go. What can you say about that? And then painter Bree Ann Peterson is at Pacific Crest. So, and then head down to Seaside. And if you're staying in Astoria or coming up to Astoria, just head right over to the Art Loft. But they are open Sunday and Monday as well. Nice 10 to 4. Thank you all for coming in. Anything anyone needs to finish up with? No? Okay.
I don't think so.
Great.
Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
You bet. It's going to be a very wonderful visual arts week, as well as lots of other things happening, but this is quite luscious. And I love the fact that both places where you're showing have lots of artists happening, so it's going to be good. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks.
And now I do have some music. Let's see. I have Kelsey Moosley, and she is going to be playing next weekend, Friday night, at the Cannon Beach History Museum. And, what do you know? We're going to be talking about that next. Stay tuned. This is Coast Community Radio. Thanks so much for being here. Carol, your host.
One, two, three, four. Say money don't mean a thing, but why is it so hard to change? I've been waiting away, I don't see a better thing. And if you decide to go, baby, I don't want no, but I've been waiting away, I don't see a better thing. So I sing.
Listening to Kelsey Moosley, and as I mentioned, She is going to be the featured musician on Friday night. That's the 9th of September at the Cannon Beach History Museum. What's the full name? Cannon Beach?
It's Cannon Beach History Center and Museum.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, we got to get that whole thing out there.
Yeah.
And the voice you just heard is Elaine. I still say Elaine Murdy Truckee, but you probably, did you drop the Murdy?
I dropped the Murdy, finally.
Okay. Well, finally is because we get to wish her, you and your child, a happy birthday from yesterday, a first birthday. What's your babe's name?
Franklin Truckee.
Franklin Truckee. Now, there's a heavy-duty name. Oh, right. So Franklin pulled Elaine Murdy away from the Cannon Beach History Museum, and she came back fully ensconced in the Truckee family. So,
yes.
Here you are. Well, congratulations on the birthday, though. That's pretty exciting. You look terrific, so you've
made
it through a year of motherhood. And you are fully active back at the museum. And next weekend is a bonanza. That is a biggie. Cottage and garden tour. And I'm going to let Elaine tell you about it. I will just say that Kelsey is scheduled, and correct me if I'm wrong, for 6 p.m. on Friday, Kelsey Mosley and The Next Right Thing. And then on Saturday, I'll let her tell you what's happening, but Saturday evening, Maggie and the Cats are playing music. And by the way, that's when I'm going to win the raffle prize, isn't it, Elaine?
Oh, yes, of course. Absolutely.
There's a big raffle going on. You two can enter it, can't you?
Yes.
Still have tickets?
Yeah, we still have tickets.
And then on Sunday, they have more. So tell us about this exciting event. And the Cannon Beach History Museum is a wonderful place. I know I say this every time because it's unusual. Was that a house at one point? Or what?
There was a history house, and then they did remodel it into a museum. But where the office is was the house.
Okay.
And it still has the original foundation, which is underneath the office is old logs.
Oh, really?
And river rock still underneath.
Wow. Nice.
I mean, we've put in foundation along the outside, but if you ever go underneath there, it still is the historic part.
Okay. Well, it's quite wonderful because it feels, the whole place has this historical feeling. And then you fill it with historical exhibits, also modern exhibits. You have textile exhibits there that are quite wonderful, plus concerts. And it's a very active place.
Yes.
And it's kind of tucked away on the, what is that, the middle exit.
Yes. So it's the second exit, on Sunset Boulevard.
Okay. Second exit. That's hard to say.
Yes.
on Sunset Boulevard in Cannon Beach. So tell us about next weekend. How is this going to work?
Okay. Well, it is our annual fundraiser, the Cottage and Garden Tour. So like you said, it kicks off on Friday night with a concert with Kelsey, and that starts at 6 o'clock. Tickets are $12. It's looking like we're just about sold out. So if you haven't got your ticket, give us a call and get one as soon as you can.
Okay, give the phone number.
It's 503-436-9301.
Okay, and we're not going to mention any more prices. You're going to have to go online to find the prices.
Yes.
But go ahead and tell us about the whole weekend.
So on Saturday, we have a luncheon and lecture at the Telavana Inn with a speaker. Her name is Libby Hulla from Hulla Design. She'll be talking about modern design and vintage design in homes now, and kind of bringing Beachy Cottage to your house. It's going to actually be interesting because she's going to be talking about how styles have kind of changed over the years. Mm-hmm. We also have the actual tour of homes, which is from 1 to 5. You can get your tickets, of course, at the museum, or we have a little booth set up at the Tullavana Wayside State Park, which is right next to the Tullavana Inn. You can't miss us. We'll have a big farmer's market tent.
Okay. Now, these are the, all of these can be taken as individual events,
so
or you can buy a ticket for the whole weekend.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it's a really good deal to purchase the weekend package. It's a steal because you can go and do everything, the concert, the home tour. And so like you said, on Saturday night, we have Maggie and the Cats playing. We will be touring the Tullavanna area, which is why we have a booth set down there. So we have historic homes, some vintage cottages. We have a couple beach dream homes and gardens, of course. And then on Sunday, we're going to have a garden tea with author Sherian Wright, who's going to be talking about mason beekeeping.
Yeah, what is that? That was an incredible story.
Yes. So she is a very interesting person. I got in contact with her when I was in Portland. I went to a garden tour up in Portland, and one of the individuals I met books the speakers for a garden club up there. And she said, you know, this person would be great for the cottage and garden tour. And I got the email, kind of went back and forth. And she's a naturalist, but she was actually an engineer before she retired. Correct. And kind of just she got very concerned, as many of us have, about the bee population and how she can kind of help that. And mason beekeeping is on a very small scale.
Mace, is that the name, the kind of bee, mason?
I believe so, okay. Yeah. So they don't make large hives like normal bees. Uh-huh. So she, in fact, she has a photo she sent me of her house where she has an old wine rack with containers in it where the bees have made their hives. And it looks amazing. It's a great garden feature. You would not have ever expected it to be. Like, it's the living bee. So she's going to explain to gardeners, no matter how small or big, this is something that you can do to help the bee population. And I think it's going to be fun for a lot of gardeners because she does have some interesting things that she's created, some different features that have made hives for these bees.
And you're having an English-style garden tea at which she's speaking. So what is an English-style garden
tea? So we'll have... we have a selection of teas from Oregon. They're going to all be local. And then we have, of course, we'll have Sleepy Monk Coffee because they donate every year for it. And then we have volunteers who come together and they make scones and cranberry bread.
Oh, my
gosh. We have a very interesting selection of cookies from EVOO. And
this is all next weekend, folks. So
yes.
I know my mouth started watering, and then I remembered this is next weekend.
September 9th through the 11th.
Right. And and Saturday there's the luncheon.
Yes.
This is quite a diverse program you've got going here. Is this, this has happened before.
This is the 13th year that we've done
year.
It. Yes, and this is my 7th putting it on. So every year we kind of streamline it a little bit better. We go and do different things, and we try to bring different speakers and fun musicians to make it a fun event, in addition to actually getting to snoop into people's homes a little bit. So
right. And are these homes all lived-in homes, or are they some of them part-timers? Or
this year we have two homes that the families do rent out, but the home that owners themselves will actually be there, and they've all of the homes this year have been in the ownership of these families for generations.
Oh, nice.
So they're going to have a lot of questions, and the homeowners are going to be there this year. This is the first year that every single homeowner is going to be there.
How many homes are there again?
We'll have 11 locations this year. So
Wait a second. It's you only get 4 hours, 1 to 5. Is there a bus or something taking you to these, or you walk?
No,
around?
they're all very close within walking distance.
Oh, good.
Yes, and the reason for the time is to sometimes people will go, you know, some of them are historic cottages. So if you are familiar with what those usually are, they're kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a home on this year that's like 450 square feet, and it's been in the family for a long time.
Right.
But it has a lot of really interesting history alongside it. So that's why you get the time, because you'll get a couple homes that are a little bit larger, and you'll get some smaller homes. But we do have a home on this year that has some incredible architecture that was designed by a fairly famous Portland architect and lived in it for a while. So I'm really excited for people to see this, because every time I've been in the home, I'm shocked at some of the things that I missed before, little nuances, because it's not just style architecturally, but artistically because mm-hmm. he was very into art. So do
you remember his name?
Jerry Bosco, mm-hmm. if anyone's familiar with that name. He's a fairly well-known architect in Portland and I think fairly famous, mm-hmm. At least in the Northwest. I don't want to get anyone's hopes up for anything
Frank
crazy. Frank Lloyd Wright. But
no,
this is
more exciting. It's local.
Yes, so and he included an integrated local artist from mm-hmm. the 60s when he was... The home is very old, but he's added and done very... It's hard to explain. You'll just have to see it. I think anyone who's interested in art or architecture at all is going to be... Go, huh, that's really interesting. How I'm surprised that he was able to do that. Like some interesting things with old knob and tube features.
Nice. So since people are going to be drifting in and out... Mm-hmm. They'll be able to look around and then just ask questions. Nobody's giving lectures in the homes.
There won't be any lectures except for one home had some famous original owners, and there's a documentary about them. So there's a really short little segment that will be played at that home that you can mm-hmm. kind of watch if you have time or not. It's about 10 minutes long, so people will be able to do that.
Well, that's cool, though. I'm thinking, because if you come in late for a lecture, but if it's, they can keep it playing.
It's just going to keep cycling through.
Yeah. Wow. I want to go. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Great. It's one of the few home tours where you can walk and you see Haystack Rock. You can stop for a coffee and it's fun and relaxing. And then you can go kick off your shoes and listen to some music at the museum.
Right.
And
it's so you've been working on it for, you say, 7 years?
Is that
right? Yeah. Wonderful idea. And just I think this is the most diverse because I talk to people about the garden tours, music in the garden, wonderful, mm-hmm. lots of terrific. But this, you seem to have covered all the bases. But, of course, you're doing it the full weekend.
Yes.
Which is terrific. Okay, now tell people again the website. Not again, for the first time. Tell them the website.
The website is cbhistory.org. So that's CB as in Cannon Beach. history.org.
That's easy.
And we're on Facebook, so if you want to look, and we post historic photos and all kinds of fun things. So if you go on there, and it also has information on the cottage tour and the specific events, and it'll link you to be able to purchase tickets as well.
Fantastic. Okay, next weekend, folks, if you just tuned in, you're going, oh, perfect. No, it's next weekend. But from what Elaine says, you might want to go there right now, cbhistory.org, and get your tickets because some parts of it may be gone very quickly. So, wow. Elaine Truckee, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me,
and
Carol.
And please do keep in touch for all of the good things that are going on at that fantastic little museum in Cannon Beach. That's the... give us the full title again.
Cannon Beach History Center and Museum.
See, it's the center and museum part, but I just call it the museum because whatever.
Absolutely.
You know where it is. So thank you so much for coming in. And again, congratulations
on
Franklin Truckee's first birthday.
Thank you so much, Carol. Okay. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And I did want to play a little bit of music from Jenny Don't and the Spurs. They're going to be... in a couple of places. They're going to be at the Sou'wester on Saturday and then at Fort George on Sunday. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org. Jenny Don't and the Spurs. And tonight, there's Shecky's at Winecraft. And Tuesday, Rick's Poetry Open Mic at Winecraft. And Saturday, Ted Brainerd and Richard Thomason. NCRD, it opens Love, Loss, and What I Wore Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this and next weekend. They were on last weekend to tell us all about it. Kath Lamet, Tsuga Gallery is tonight, and that opens the Boat Festival, which is all weekend. Shanghai and Astoria, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And Coaster, this is the last weekend. Let's Murder Marsha tonight and Sunday. And Saturday is 9 to 5, the Musical Barn Community Playhouse, Octet Bridge Club, Maggie and the Cats at Sweet Basil. Hey, we've got so many fabulous local artists, musicians around. You do need to take care. Right now, I need to go and you need to stay. Call me if you need more information. Thanks for being here, folks. Take care. And think about labor and workers.
This is FSRN, the weekly edition. I'm Jacob Bresnik.